2. Welcome to episode 2 of our show. How you doing, Rich?
Episode 2.
Yeah! What? This was week 1 of the NFL, and what a doozy it was. We have a great show for you lined up. This is the show that we talk about sports, politics, and anything worthy of enough for our attention. Love that music. Love it. Love it. So, Rich. Ooh, yeah. I know.
Week one.
Week one. We had, actually, it's Tuesday today, September 13th. We had 2 days to prepare for this show because I'm going to Arizona tomorrow for the entire week. So we wanted to get our feet wet just one more time before the next week. We didn't want to take 2 weeks off. How's your week been so far? It's Tuesday.
Hey, it's a work week and it sucks. And it's Tuesday. It's only going to get worse for the rest of the week.
Hey, do you have any gripes to go along with that?
Well, all right. So you want to hear a pretty fucked up story?
All right. So, let me hear these gripes.
All right. So I'm at Target, right?
All
right. You know, dealing with the public is probably the worst thing you can do. Like, you're dealing with other human beings. And
absolutely.
Other human beings
with
the
relate.
Scum of the fucking earth.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm in line, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of by. All right, I got my shit. I'm in line. I'm in a straight line. All right, so I'm kind of off to the side of the line. So I'm not directly behind the next person. So I'm like 3 feet or maybe a couple feet to the right. So, all right, before I start this story, I just want to get this out there. By no means am I a racist, all right? I just want to get that out there.
I'm listening.
Observation.
You hired two African-Americans.
Race.
Two African-Americans are on your team at the warehouse, correct?
The best guys I have on my staff. Anyways, just a simple observations. So, all right, so I'm in line. I'm off to the right, like I said. I'm not directly behind the person in front of me. This Vietnamese guy, he comes up behind me, right? And it's almost like he's trying to take my spot because I'm not directly in the line.
Uh-huh.
So he, like, creeps up like a snake and tries to take my spot. So I'm not into confrontation. I'm not into making a scene. So I go back into my spot, into the line, right?
Yeah.
Then his slop of shit wife comes. And comes on the right side of me.
Uh-huh.
So now I got these two jackasses, like, in my ear, basically. Like, okay. They have no manners. They have no respect for personal space. They're just all up on my, like, left side and my right side ear.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Then their kids are fucking playing. They're running into the back of my leg. They're not saying shit to them. At this point, I'm beyond frustrated. And then this is the observation that I've always had of the Vietnamese race. And like I said, I'm not a fucking racist, so fuck you, whoever's listening. All right, so the asshole hocks a loogie in his mouth.
Oh, that's
directly
fucking
into
disgusting.
My fucking ear.
Oh!
Now, my eyes are starting to water because I'm going to literally puke.
Wait, when you say, I'm sorry to cut you off, but when you say hocking a loogie, do you mean like he went like this? Like that
like,
in
I'm
his
like,
mouth?
Or like,
did he spit it out?
No, he swallowed it. That's,
oh,
why, that's why my eyes were watering
the
in the line because I was going to puke on the line. It's like they have no respect for other people around them. And that's just how they are, like, around the neighborhood. They got their flip-flops, they're dragging their feet, and they're hawking loogies, like, on the sidewalks. That's, like, an observation. I'm not being racist, so fuck you, you politically correct assholes. It's an observation of what a certain race does. And that's what I've noticed. They drag their feet, they wear their flip-flops, they drag their feet, and then they hawk loogies on the sidewalk. So I just thought that was rude, and it was disgusting, quite frankly.
Hey, it's a gripe,
like,
you know?
Look at it and fucking punch the motherfucker.
It's a gripe. We're allowed to vent, you know, and I have a gripe, and actually, my gripe is with you, you son of a bitch.
Me?
Yeah.
Let's hear this.
All right, so Sunday, we're here in the room watching football. and you spill beer on my iPad. Oh. So I was like, okay, I saw it coming. You spill beer on the iPad. I was like, okay, it was an accident. A couple minutes later, we're watching TV. You sit down by my nightstand, and my vape falls off. My guitar amp. So I was like, okay, what the fuck is going on here? So let's go into the future. It's Monday morning, 6 in the morning. I'm getting dressed for work. Oh, nice. Ooh, excuse me. Oh. So it's 6 in the fucking morning. I'm trying to get myself together. I'm trying to look for my watch. And by the way, I just bought a brand new G-Shock watch. It's beautiful. It's one of the nicest watches I have ever owned. I'm trying to look for it like a blind man stumbling in the dark. And my room's a fucking mess right now. It's terrible. I see it shining from underneath the pile of clothes, like a pile of junk in the foot of at the end of my bed. So I reach and I grab it and I pull it out, and half of it's covered with chocolate and pieces of orange candy shell.
Oh my God.
I was like, what the fuck is this? So I take off all the shit from the top of the pile, and there's trail mix was all over my goddamn watch. You son of a bitch. You know, I have two questions coming from this one, buddy. You listen to me?
I'm listening.
Two questions. One question is, who eats trail mix? And my second question is, what's next? Are you going to break one of my guitars over my fucking head?
I just take a sledgehammer to your TV. Wow. Leave. Oh man, I didn't.
You could break one of my guitars over my head.
Like Jeff Jarrett style.
Leave my TV out of this.
Oh man.
You can't Jeff Jarrett me, but you leave my TV out of this, huh? You son of a bitch.
I definitely feel like an asshole. I mean, you know, like they always say, like, bad things always come in threes. So I guess that was the third one.
Well, you said earlier today that I got a lot of shit in my room. That is true. I like to remind everybody that I did have a townhouse at once, so there is a lot of shit in here, but this room is built for one person, and that's me.
Yeah, I mean, I literally take one step, and I'm knocking something over, I'm moving something.
You're not the first person to say this.
I stand up, my knee hits something.
But since you got chocolate and pieces of orange candy shell on my G-Shock watch... I'm gonna call you a clumsy bitch.
That's just a disgusting human being. I mean, like, how do I live with myself? Like, I'm just spilling.
I don't know what's worse, if you keep bumping into things or you're eating trail mix on Sunday morning. Anyways.
I guess to make it worse, the trail mix is still here, by the way.
Yeah, you know what that music means, son. How do you like our week one recap music, folks? Oh, by the way, Rich, how much people downloaded our show this last weekend?
23 downloads. So what do you say about that?
So I'm pretty sure 5 of them are like my sisters and my family. The other 5 are his family. One is like a mentally, intellectually handicapped kid at school, and the rest is probably the app trying to encourage us to make more podcasts, right?
Yeah, the rest of the app, yeah.
All right, so let's go on to week one, folks. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Tampa Bay going deep, 31-24 over their division rivals.
Jameis Winston having a big game. 23 for 33, 4 touchdowns, 281 yards.
What'd I say? Don't bet against my boy Winston. Buffalo at Baltimore. Baltimore 13-7. And I have one question before you say some stats, buddy. What happened to your boy Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor was just god awful. You know what? He was kind of he was efficient, but at 15 for 22, 111 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, he's got to put up some numbers. He's got to step up and be the quarterback. Joe Flacco being the Super Bowl champ that he is, although he only has one Super Bowl, so he is only just as good as
Trent. Oh, you're going to bring up that bullshit again?
You know what? He actually is kind of similar to Trent. He has stellar defense, but fuck him.
Are you kidding me? Oh, this might be next week, right? Chicago at Houston. Houston 23, Chicago 14.
Okay. They should have won. I predicted that one, actually. They got the W.
They're
buying their way into the playoffs.
And like I said last week, I don't give a shit. Green Bay at Jacksonville, the Baby Jacks, the rising team. They lose by 4 points. What was the final score, Rich?
27-23. Jacksonville, they fought hard. They fought tough. Poor clock management in the fourth quarter, which I'll try to dive into later. But that's what killed them. I mean, they had every opportunity to win this game.
So Jags did lose by a score, so OCal give them the benefit of the doubt. But A-Rod prevailed because his lover Jordy Nelson is back, and they connected for a touchdown. San Diego at Kansas City. Kansas City 33, San Diego 27 in overtime. Yo boy Alex Smith!
I'm calling it. The next fantasy fuckboy right now is Spencer Ware. I am calling it, and I'm on record.
What's his position and what team, please? Because I don't know who that is.
The running back, he has 7 catches, 129 yards, 11 carries, 70 yards, 1 touchdown. Like, every guy in fantasy football had this guy on their roster.
Ooh, I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
And in New Orleans, Oakland 35, New Orleans 34. But this wasn't just one regular game. It came with the biggest nutsack in the NFL this week. His name is Jack Del Rio. And you know what? 44 seconds left in the fourth. 33, 34. Let's let Greg Papa take it over.
Jack Del Rio gonna go for two here, right?
He's going for two.
The Raiders will go for two in the probable victory with 47 seconds left.
If you don't make this, you lose. If you make it, you're in a position to win.
As the Raiders go for the two-point conversion and the lead.
Out of the shotgun, looks left, throws a lob for Michael Crabtree, caught it!
One-handed catch as he goes up and gets it, it's Crabtree.
He caught it! He caught it! The Raiders have the lead!
What did I say last week, Rach? The Raiders are on the rise!
You shut me up, hey, I'm not convinced still.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyways, let's move on to New York, where Cincinnati visited. They beat the Jets 23-22. Why? Because they got two of the NFL finest fuckboys. Who are they?
The reigning fantasy fuckboy, A.J. Green and Andy Dalton. A.J. Green went off. He's the receiving leader right now. 12 catches, 180 yards, 1 touchdown. Andy Dalton went big, 23-30, 366 yards, 1 touchdown. He did have a pick, so watch out for that.
Woo! Let's go to Philly, where Cleveland visited, where Philadelphia brought the pain. 29-10. My boy Carson Wentz goes 22 for 37, 270 yards, two touchdowns, and your boy RG3 on injured reserve. What do you think about that?
I had high hopes for RG3. He looked good in the Cleveland Browns uniform. Complete disappointment. It sucks.
That's your boy. Sean Hill? Who's Sean Hill? Sean Hill? The same guy that was on the 49ers like 20 years ago? Sean Hill pulling out the win in Minnesota over Tennessee. Or in Tennessee, 25-16. And you know why he pulled it off?
Why?
Because of Norv Turner. That's why.
Gutless Mariota. Still not ready to be an NFL quarterback. Fuck Mariota.
Gutless motherfucker. Oh, and let's go to Seattle, where Miami took the cross-country flight. They lose 10-12. You know, Seahawks football is ugly, it's dirty, it's unappealing, but you know what? They get the job done.
They get the job done, and they had a unified protest, which we will dig into later, but fuck them too.
Woo! And America's game of the week! New York Giants beating the Dallas Cowboys 20-19 in Dallas.
The only stat that is of Dez Bryant, 1 catch, 8 yards.
Damn. And you know what? Detroit beating the Indianapolis Colts 39-35. And you were right last week, bro. It was a fantasy fuckboy shootout. I swear to God. Tell me some stats.
Fantasy fuckboy shootout. Matthew Stafford, 31 for 39, 340 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Andrew Luck, 31 for 47, 385 yards, 4 touchdowns. Typical fantasy fuckboy numbers. I'm actually more surprised they didn't throw any interceptions. They actually went interception free.
All right, and let's go to Arizona, where Arizona loses 21-23 against New England in Garoppolo's first start ever in his career. Let's see what he had to say about that.
All three phases. I mean, it really was. Ever playing team football, great complimentary football. You know, it was just one of those nights. It was a good win, good team win.
How would you evaluate you?
You know, there's plenty of room for improvement. You know, we'll look at the film and get it corrected for next week.
You could.
Give me a piece of that humble pie, because you know what? New England, they got coaching. They won without Gronk. They won without Tom Brady. They find ways to win. Give me that coaching staff, baby. That's why they win, and they win.
That's what we said last week. Just a well-ran organization. Arizona's a laughing stock right now. That's the game they should have won.
Get rid of Palmer. Pittsburgh at Washington. Pittsburgh 38, Washington 16. Game from the great Antonio Brown and the ageless wonder D'Angelo Hall.
D'Angelo Williams. How does Antonio Brown week in and week out pull up these numbers? It's unbelievable right now.
I actually have the reason of why this guy might get his numbers the way he does. You want to know?
Christ.
Have you ever seen his haircut? That is the cleanest fade I've ever seen in my fucking life. Tell me some stats, buddy.
If you can twerk, that'll help you too.
That's a nice twerk.
8 catches, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns. Typical night for Antonio Brown. It's unbelievable. This guy, I would imagine this guy would just get double coverage every game, and he still finds a way to get his catches. It's unbelievable.
And how about D'Angelo Hall?
This guy, 26 carries, 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's the league-leading receiver after week one.
And D'Angelo Hall got me a win in my fantasy football team. I'm a winner this week. I have him to thank. D'Angelo Williams, do what you do, Los Angeles Rams. For the first time since 1994, playing the San Francisco 49ers as the Niners win 28-0.
All right, this is probably the boar fest of the week, even though it was 28-0 total. I don't even know how the Niners got this win. I mean, they have no business winning any games right now.
I fell asleep during the third quarter because that fucking Rams offense was atrocious, but kudos to my boy Bowman, absolutely dominating and commanding his troops. That is the week one recap, folks.
It actually might be catching up to Gurley. He only had like 47 yards rushing.
Ooh, man, what a week. Wow. Ooh, damn, I'm pumped up.
It was a typical week one. You had your boring games, you had your shootouts. But, I mean, this doesn't really say anything. I mean,
it's week one.
You don't know what your teams are made of till about week four. This doesn't say anything. This doesn't say Oakland's going to win the division. It doesn't say that Cleveland's going to suck for the rest of the year, even though that might be true. Jacksonville, those are my boys. I mean, A-Rod didn't even look good in week one, so... The Cowboys,
much props to that Jags defense for they lost by 4.
Oh, man, they got gassed in the fourth quarter.
And you could only hold A-Rod down for so long.
That is true.
Yeah. actually, so we're gonna move to a new section on our show called Surprises of Week One. Do you have any surprises there?
You know what? I'm not actually not surprised by anything that happened this week. I mean, the season actually went the way I thought it would. Are you talking about like a performance or
whatever you observed? Players' actions. Wins,
I'm surprised that people. Okay, let's get into it right now.
Let's do this.
I'm surprised that people still don't know the basics of typical football.
Tell me.
I'm talking about like fourth down situations. I'm talking about 1 minute drive. Like when you're in like the 2 minute, what do you call it? The 2 minute, help me out here.
2 minute offense.
Yeah. There's
2 minute drills.
2 minute drills. There's basic things that you got to learn. There's basic things you got to know.
On defense and on offense.
Defense, offense. There's so many scenarios that can happen.
Every team should go through this all week and practice during the week.
And to be and to for fuck ups to happen like this week in and week out, still amazing. This is what surprises me. And I'm talking about Terrence Williams, your boy.
My boy? Why is he my boy?
What? So, the Dallas Cowboys, all right, so we're a Cowboy fan, so we're gonna hit the Cowboy game first. That makes the most sense. So before we get into him, how did the first half look? How did you feel about the first half?
The defense played disgusting. Our defense could not stop the Giants at all in the first half. And quite frankly, one of my letdowns of the week was Dak Prescott.
Dak actually, he played well. He played efficient, although he threw way too many fucking times. You see how many times he threw?
How many times did he throw?
Dak Prescott threw 45 times.
You know what? He threw most of the balls to Beasley and Witten, is that correct?
That is correct. Witten had 9 catches, Beasley had 8 catches.
And I'm quoting Shannon Sharpe here, and I'm gonna go more into this. Shannon Sharpe is, Dez Bryant's gonna win you the game. Cole Beasley and is not. Witten could have won it for you a couple years back. Beasley's not going to win you the game. And what I'm going with this is that it's this game reminds me of last year. Why? Brandon Weeden. He got the guys down to the red zone and they could not score. This is a coaching issue. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I just see the Dallas Cowboys going into Washington, and I got Dan Bailey, by the way, on my fantasy team. He gave me 17 points. He is money. He is clutch. They can't score. They don't know what to do. They can't give their big player, Dez Bryant, the ball. One catch for 6 fucking yards.
That's what pisses me off the most. It's like all these teams in the league can get their star, their at least their number one and two wideouts the ball every fucking game, and it seems like the Dallas Cowboy organizations cannot hit their number one wide receivers since the T.O. era. Hey, T.O. was like recognized as a decoy, and that's just been passed on to Dez and whoever else has been in that number one spot. A.J. Green, 12 catches. How does A.J. Green get 12 catches in a game and Dez only gets one? You would think by now Antonio Brown would be triple covered. And he's exploding. 8 catches. Brandon Cooks. Who the fuck is Brandon Cooks? 6 catches. Willie Sneed, 9 catches. His boy. Jordan Matthews of Philly. Jordan Matthews is a bum. 7 catches. Larry Fitz, legendary Larry Fitz, 8 catches. Michael Crabtree can get 7 catches. DeSean Jackson gets 6 catches. Julian Edelman. You would think Julian Edelman can't get the ball. He's got 7 catches on the week. Dez Bryant, week in and week out. It's a struggle to get him the ball, but it's because he's on the Dallas Cowboys. They have a problem getting their star wideouts the ball.
You know what's their problem? And it's been a problem since T.O. was on the team. It's Jason Garrett. I think he has control of this offense still. Linehan in Detroit made Calvin Johnson the fantasy guy. I thought he would come in here. I think he's using Garrett's playbook. You can't do much with different 30 pages of streaks. It's frustrating. I mean, even Trayvon Austin got his catches last night. They were trying to get him involved, even though the Rams' offense was Amari that
Cooper's boring. Getting the ball. I mean, Derek Carr's feeding Amari Cooper and Crabtree. And in Dallas, it's such a struggle to get it to their number one wideout. And right now, it's such a struggle to get it to Dez. I don't understand it. It does not make any sense. I wish we ran a typical NFL offense. And we just lack that. And we've always said it, like, Romo is that type of quarterback that, what, can should only throw, like, what, 20 to 25 times
a game? I never want to see Romo throw more than 25 to 28 times. He needs that run game. He could win. He's clutch enough to win you the games in the end if you're trailing.
And
but to put that much pressure on him, he's not that guy. He's not A-Rod. He's not Tom Brady. You know what? He's not Drew Brees or Peyton Manning.
In this point in Romo's career, I feel comfortable with him throwing it that many times only because I feel like he's matured and I feel like he is ready to take it to the next step. But who the fuck? I mean, okay, you got a rookie quarterback in Dak Prescott and you have him throw 45 times. That's just horrible coaching. You can't. And if you watch the game, we watched every snap. We watch every snap of the Dallas Cowboys every single week. This was not like a blowout game. They weren't even down by like two scores at any point of this game. You have no reason to have Prescott throwing so many times during this game. Like, what are they doing?
Well, honestly, I was fucking let down with, okay, Ezekiel Elliott, the predicted rookie of the year, the big talk in the offseason, the draft, fourth round by the Dallas Cowboys. They have him in this shotgun formation, doing sweeps. That's what mostly it seemed like. And you know what? Also, they try to get him on some screens, but to let you guys know, the Dallas Cowboys screen passes. Screen passes are not welcomed in Dallas. They don't know what a screen pass is. They cannot execute it. You know, in 2015, that was the year they went 12-4. They had the league's leading rusher in DeMarco Murray. Romo was throwing about 25 to 30 times a game, but he was winning you the games because there's a lot of pressure taken off his back. Elliott was sweeping, going on these sweeps. They were sniffing it out. Nobody was getting fooled. Then you put Morris in, and Alfred Morris in these big eye formations, doing stretch plays, running it up the gut, and he was doing really good. My question is, why the fuck do you not put Elliott in that formation? Why are you having Elliott run around the offensive line than the offensive line creating those gaps in the defense?
Well, it just seems like they try to focus way too much with Elliott rather than going with the veteran Morris. The way they should have ran the game was, let's feature Morris, let's get the veteran involved, and then showcase our rookie. Alfred Morris, he only had 7 carries for 35 yards, but he was averaging 5.0 yards per carry.
He looked good.
Ezekiel Elliott, he had 20 carries. Obviously, they showcased him as the number one back. 51 yards, but he's only averaging 2.6 yards per carry. At some point, you got to realize, all right, this guy's not getting any yardage. Let's go with Alfred. But from the start, the game plan was fucked. Alfred Morris should have been starting. You should have been the showcase back. And then you ease in Ezekiel Elliott for that game-changing type of momentum. You know, or yeah, pound Alfred Morris up the gut. Let him do the dirty work. And then throw a screen at Elliott. Then give him the toss, the tossing plays.
You know, I feel
John Madden always says, you got to establish the run between the tackles before you do your sweeps.
I'm going to sound like a broken record, folks. In 2015, when they went 12-4, it was a run-first offense. They had an identity. They pounded
it. They almost seemed like they ran too much.
Big props to Bill Callahan, by the way, because he was the assistant offensive coordinator, whatever the fuck that means.
We recognized Bill Callahan that year.
Linehan was the passing game coordinator. I don't know how it worked out. Everything was well balanced there. You know, now we got the Cowboys have talent on offense. You can't, anybody out there, you cannot disagree with they have talent. And I'm They have no identity on fucking offense. They're trying to do this cute sweep shotgun bullshit with Elliott. Then Morris comes in and they're trying to pound the rock. You know, you got to have an identity on offense to win in the NFL. You got to be a pro-style offense. I could say, look at the fucking Steelers. They got an identity. It's run and pound that fucking rock.
And play good defense.
And good defense all the time. But they have...
Speaking of
the defense, great Antonio Brown.
Speaking of defense, how fucking gutless is Sean Lee?
This guy can't
plug a hole. I mean, 4 years ago, yeah, he was that guy, that linebacker that could get you that pick six for a touchdown. That's now he's a shell of himself. I mean, where's Sean Lee? Like, where is our? We need an all-star stud middle linebacker. We don't have that. Sean Lee isn't that guy.
They drafted that motherfucker from Notre Dame. That is. Just got an ACL, so he's out for the entire year. So what a wasted pick! Christ. We're not gonna reach the playoffs, anyways. And you know what? I have another surprise. Dallas Cowboys, Cowboys fans, is gonna be a long fucking season again because they don't know how to coach up Dak. Dak will not. Any other team, he'll be decent, probably. But we're not going to be able to score touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
My surprise of week one was Carson Wentz, the rookie from the Eagles, 22-37, 278 yards, 2 touchdowns, rookie. He looked calm out there. He looked great. That was my surprise. That's all I have to say about that guy for right now.
Let's wait till week four.
All right.
Once team starts getting some film on him, then they'll game plan for him. Then we'll see what he's made of. Right now, week one, you really can't say. It's not a legit assessment, especially for a rookie player. Especially when you don't have any legit film. Let's play it out. Let's get to week four, and then we'll see what this guy's made of.
All right. Well, how about let's jump to props for being right? Should I kick it off?
I had probably the worst week you could ever have.
So I got props for being right. The Raiders! I told you the Raiders were on the rise. Jack Del Rio, the biggest nuts in the fucking NFL right now, having confidence in his offense pulling it off. What do you think they feel right now? They are confident as hell. They just started the season, young cats. They believe in themselves. Man, what a game.
I was watching the Jaguar game, actually, as this game was going on, but I did hear that they had went for a two-point conversion.
Jack Del Rio going to go for two here?
He's going for two.
Oh, my God. How crucial. I mean, who does that in the NFL these days? I mean, that's something you don't see. Like, people would just kick the field goal, go into overtime. But I'm sure they thought that we can't stop these guys. So
Michael,
we got to go for the win.
Michael Crabtree. God damn. Coming down with that fucking ball.
Crabtree of all people. I mean,
absolutely. Derek Carr being goddamn clutch, throwing the goddamn ball where it's supposed to be, and Crabtree snatching it out of that goddamn air and winning that goddamn football
game.
Derek
Carr, he didn't throw any interceptions either. He went 24 for 38, 319 yards, one touchdown,
stud.
No picks. Didn't turn the ball over. That's
stud.
Crucial.
Clutch.
When you don't turn the ball over and you're putting up numbers, I mean, you're going to win some games in this league.
The Raiders on the rock.
Again, though, hey, next week, watch. He'll throw like 3 picks. I'm not sold yet. Let's all calm down. All right, let's calm down.
All right, so my second props for Vader Eye was, let's do this a little quicker. A-Rod pulling it from the Jags. He had a tough day, but he pulled it off. My other props for being right, I sarcastically talked about Kirk Cousins during our predictions last week. Kirk Cousins is a bum, and the Steelers defense showed that. I think I have some stats on that fucking bum.
Why you find that? Kirk Cousins is a bum. I actually chose him for DraftKings as my quarterback on Monday Night Football. I chose him over Big Ben. That was the biggest mistake of my fucking life.
That guy won. That's
the last time I rely on Kirk Cousins.
That guy won like two games last year.
He had one game where he threw for like 500 yards like 2 years ago. He's still living off that.
That guy won like two games last year in a shitty division. And
yeah, he scores you 14 points in fantasy football. I should have went with Big Ben. I don't know what the fuck I was
disgusting.
Thinking.
I hate it. But I was right. And, you know, I want to take credit for it, but also I want to... They came from Shannon Sharp. You go defense and you win. Giants D... coming up big, and Big D, they three great drives by the Cowboys in the first half all ended up in field goals. They should have been touchdowns.
Yeah, that is true.
That defense came through in Big D, and you know what? I can't take that. I wasn't right. All much props to my boy Shannon Sharp, which you guys should watch, by the way, because Shannon Sharp, he's let loose, and I'm loving it.
I didn't see. Did you watch the new Skip show?
Yes. The girl in the middle was wearing a pink dress today.
She have her tits.
She's Latina, and her breasts are just gorgeous.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think she's hotter than Molly Queerum. Is that her name? Yeah, I would say she's a lot younger than
Molly
her.
Queerum. Ever since she went to ESPN, she covered up. She was a lot sexier on NFL Network.
Well, you know, they got higher ratings at ESPN, so you can't be as whorish, I think. But you gotta be
who is
whorish.
This new chick? You keep mentioning
I gotta bring up her name, titty. But she's was so Mexican? Hot. I had to take a cold shower right after.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was pretty hot. But she seems awkward, like she's really intimidated to be there. They just got her just because she's so cute. Like
the first episode aired today or
I have yesterday? No fucking clue. I've been watching these clips on YouTube.
I gotta watch the show.
And do you have any apologies for talking shit last week and then you were proved wrong?
You know what? Player-wise, no, because I know everything I've said about a player is going to come true eventually, especially with Derek Carr. I'm not sold on that motherfucker. He's going to blow you a game sooner or later, and he's not going to take his team to the promised land. The team that I might apologize for is maybe the Seattle Seahawks. I said fuck their whole entire organization on the last show, and during their protest that they did, they kind of... It was a legit protest, if that's what you want to call it. They pretty much locked arms as a whole unit, which, okay, I could get behind that, but it wasn't disrespectful. So if I said anything negative about the Seahawks organization, I do apologize because that was a tasteful protest, if you want to call it a protest.
They locked arms, right?
Yeah, they all locked arms.
All of them together.
Yeah.
Unlike last night... where Kaepernick and Eric Davis were like in the... It was very awkward.
Still had pieces of shit doing their own thing.
Well, let's focus on Kaepernick because they was a big part of our show last week. Him and Eric Davis were in the middle
Eric Reed.
Of the... Eric Davis? Who the fuck is
Eric
that?
Davis from the early 90s.
Okay.
With Merton Hanks.
Was this? Eric Reed. They were kneeling in the middle kind of like where... the benches, the Niners side.
I didn't see this, so what did they do? I didn't see it.
They were kneeling together right next to each other while part of the Niners team was on the left side and the other team was on the right side. So they were like right in the middle. And I thought it was pretty fucking stupid how and lame how Kaepernick was kneeling on his right knee and his elbow was on his left leg while Eric Reed was on it to his right. And he was kneeling on his left knee.
Right. So they were kind of like touching each other.
With his right arm on his right knee. Okay. So it was almost like it was like...
like they planned it.
It just looked... I don't know. I'm thinking too much about it. But honestly, I like what the Seahawks did. They backed up their brothers. They're a family. I said winning is important.
I think I saw somebody on the Chiefs, like, he put his fist up in the air or something.
Martellus
like that.
Bennett did that. There's a couple of more. That's cool. I like that. That's from the 60s.
It's not really a protest, though.
No, no, definitely. I know your boy, Arian Foster, took a knee.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Your boy, Chris Brown, he took a knee. Or he sat on the bench.
Is Chris Brown the guy that hit Rihanna?
The same guy.
Chris Brown?
That has.
The guy that sings?
Like 10 charges of domestic violence on him. Yes, Chris Brown, the singer. He was in a celebrity basketball.
We are talking about Chris Brown. Yeah,
he was on a
celebrity. How did he come up in this?
He was doing a celebrity basketball game on Sunday, and he was caught sitting on the bench, or sitting down, like taking a seat during the national anthem. It was like, this guy has no fucking credibility. He has no purpose. Protesting anything when you beat women for your as a lifestyle, you know,
pussy ass piece of shit, Chris Brown. You try to be all patriotic and care for your brothers, and yet you beat your sisters.
Women in America should be protesting Chris Brown. Who is he to protest anybody?
That guy's a fucking disgrace to mankind. And I, you know what? Honestly, I've never listened to one fucking Chris Brown song ever. I've never fucking listened to
a couple. I mean, he's got a good voice, but he's a piece of shit.
And my apology for the week. I've said his name once. I've said his name twice. Carson Wentz. I hope you're listening to this. Because I said you're a rookie. Last week I said you're a rookie and you're going to get fucked up. And you come out and you play like a grown man. My deepest apologies. And you know what? Here you go. I'm playing the Eagle Chant for you. Because you flew on Sunday. You flew like no man ever. And you did a great job, and I'm a Cowboys fan, play this on my own fucking podcast, so what does that say? I can admit when I'm fucking wrong. I want to go less biased in this show. I want to go more, like, real. I wish you the best of luck, kid. You did great in a team that had no fucking chance of anything. I thought you guys were just going to win 3 or 4 games this year. You might still, I don't know, but you guys look great. You look great. Good job, kid.
I think I said the.
Thanks for proving me wrong.
I think I said they won't win more than 4 games.
You did say that. You did say that.
Stick to that.
Yeah.
I will still stick to that.
All right. Well. And
fuck Derek Carr. I'm not sorry.
Oh my God. You're going to leave Derek Carr alone? Oh, shit. You know what that means, folks. It's time for Fucker of the Week. And do you have any nominations for Fucker of the Week Award?
I had a few people. There were just so many fuck ups this week. I'm gonna stick with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not gonna go with Terrence. I'm gonna stick with the Arizona Cardinals. You didn't the Patriots organization. This was the time to jump on them. This was the time. They were vulnerable, most vulnerable. They didn't have Gronk. They didn't have Tom Brady. And the Cardinals were projected to at least be decent and contend for a title this year. I predicted them on the last show to go to the Super Bowl. And for them to not even beat the Patriots at their most vulnerable point, who can they beat? If they can't beat the Patriots without Tom Brady and without Gronk, who the fuck can they beat? I regret picking them for the Super Bowl now, and they're my fucko of the week. The whole organization, the whole Cardinal organization,
God
completely
damn.
Fucked up, and they are my fuck-ups for this week.
Ouch. You got great points there. You want to know who's my fucko of the week?
Let's hear it.
Terrence Williams. How do you... you know what? This goes a little farther. You go...
You
got a buck left. You're charging down the field. And honestly, Dak was throwing to all of his receivers pretty good. But it was all in the middle of the field. Nobody was running out of bounds. The clock was going down. I blame the coaches. Jason Garrett, You have a goddamn headset. I wonder if it's even plugged in, because you should have been in Dax here saying, make sure they are running out of bounds. Say it once. Don't say it once. Say it twice. Say it three times. Run out of bounds. We got to keep going. And it's coaching. It's coaching in Dallas.
Speaking of Terrence coaching. Williams not getting out of bounds, I mean, that, like how we said earlier in the show, typical, it's just playoff scenario, or football, just scenarios. Scenarios that you got to live by. You got to know you got to get out of bounds. Got to go towards the sidelines. That's coaching. That's at football 101, the 2-minute drill. That's coaching 101. Get out of bounds. If Terrence Williams got out of bounds, that would have put Dallas in a position to kick a 57-yard field goal. Dan Bailey just hit a 56-yarder in the same game. Just give Dan Bailey a chance. Even if it was a 65-yard fucking field goal, just give your kicker a chance to kick that game winner. For him to not go out of bounds, that's just poor judgment. I question his football IQ. I would cut the motherfucker if I was to be honest. But it's a bigger problem in Dallas. It's really the coaching staff, and it goes all the way up to the top. Jerry Jones is poorly running this organization.
I wouldn't go as far as to cut that fucking guy. I would have fired Jason Garrett fucking 8 years ago. Yeah, 8 fucking years ago. Next year will be 10 years with this fuck.
Nobody talks about him. Stephen A. Smith brought him up like 4 years ago, and he was the first person to ever say, hey, this might be the problem of the Dallas Cowboys. You called it 5 years ago in Washington. Jason Garrett is the problem right now in Dallas. But it's been happening so long, now it's a Jerry Jones issue. Jerry Jones has to someone's gotta advise him. Jerry Jones is making wrong decisions.
As a Cowboys fan, I wanna say I hope things get better and I wish him the best of luck in Washington next week. But you know what? As a football fan, buckle your seatbelts, Dallas Cowboy fans. It's going to be a long, horrible season. This is a prediction of the rest of the season. It's going to be a bad season. And let's move on to our next topic.
Before you move on, I fear that they're going to kill Ezekiel Elliott's career before they killed Marion Barber's career.
They don't know how to run a decent play for the kid. Which leads us to our next topic. Oh, you know, Rich, I was so inspired by what your passion that you had last week in all of your rants about politics. I have a topic for you this week that I read on Yahoo News. Hillary Clinton. There's something up with her health.
Oh, Hillary. Okay.
Yeah, so,
what's your girl?
Your girl. That's your girl. I didn't vote for her.
What's your girl?
Yes, you go, boy. What you have to say, what's going on with Hillary's health?
Hillary, she was spotted fainting, nearly passing out as she entered her limo or whatever it was. It was actually kind of disturbing, to be honest with you. Just seeing her all wobbly and stuff, she looked drunk. But actually, what's making headline news even after that is how she called all of Trump supporters a basket of deplorables. Do you know what deplorable means?
No.
It's kind of like it's a term to say, hey, people are like despicable. They're what's a term for like despicable or they're just no good people.
Yeah, just no good. You're fucking lowlifes.
Yeah, you could say it like that. That's what deplorable means. And she called them, not only did she call Trump supporters a basket of deplorables, but she also called them racist, sexist, homophobes, and Islamophobes. How can you call the American people, how can you label the American people this? Those are potential voters that you could possibly snag from the Trump camp. And you're just going to go isolate the entire Trump fan base. It was funny because Trump like demanded she retract those comments.
I actually researched a couple of those things. Hillary Clinton was diagnosed with pneumonia.
Yep.
Right. Donald Trump said that she should put out her health records. Is this correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
And for some strange reason, Donald Trump put out his health records, and his doctor said that he is healthy to be, you know, I guess that's a concern. I've never heard of that, like, being a concern for any fucking president. Like, what does that matter? I don't even give a shit.
Yeah,
it just seems like it's just politics. They're playing dirty. What if she's sick? Who cares? I don't give a shit. If she dies during the next 4 years, if she becomes president, her cabinet will take over. We're voting for the cabinet. We're just not voting for one fucking person. We're voting for a organization.
You could say the same thing with Trump. I mean, a lot of people don't support Trump. They don't like him. But it's his cabinet that's going to carry him. And by the way, deplorable, disgraceful, shameful, dishonorable, and unworthy.
Yeah.
That's the definition of deplorable. There's a hashtag on Twitter right now. Someone coined the phrase adorable deplorable.
That sounds like that's Trump to me.
That's going
to
sell a lot of t-shirts.
You know what? I'm going to go liberal here.
I'm an adorable deplorable.
I'm going to go liberal here and say that Donald Trump hired agents to get Hillary sick so he could win. He's trying to kill her from the inside out.
She looked drunk going into her car. That's what it looked like.
Ooh, and that is the end of our politic gripe there. And
Donald Trump taking it. He's coming back. He's coming back.
Oh! Ooh, did you hear? All right. Did you hear about Shannon Doherty?
What happened to Shannon Doherty?
She had breast cancer. Doctor says she's going to make a speedy recovery. Or not a speedy curve, but she's recovering from it. She's beating cancer.
Shannon Doherty is so fucking hot.
She's pretty sexy.
Yeah, she's known as one of those sassy broads. So she doesn't take shit from nobody.
And no, she doesn't.
I loved her on Charmed. I used to watch that show when it first came on. Say whatever the fuck you want. She's fucking hot as fuck on there.
You know, the reason she started off that show and, you know, Rose McGowan took over was because I hear she's a bitch.
She's a bitch, yeah. Same reason why she got kicked off 90210. Same reason why she left Charmed. Yeah, she's hard to work with.
She's
catty.
She's catty.
But I fucking love that. I would titty fuck her so hard.
You know what? She's a catty and she's a bitch, but I don't think she deserves cancer because she is so fucking hot.
Hey. Yeah, I wish her the best of luck. I love Shannon Doherty.
So you heard it here, Shannon Doherty. We wish you a speedy recovery. I hope you're okay, and I hope those big cans of yours make a speedy recovery.
Get well soon. I heard she was a lesbian, though. Is that true?
I hope so, and I hope she comes out with a video one day.
Oh, man.
Let's go Pulp Fiction a little bit.
Wow.
What the fuck are my notes?
That'd be sick if there was ever a second Pulp Fiction. Quentin. Maybe Quentin. Isn't he on pace for three more movies? What if his last movie is a sequel to Pulp Fiction? That'd be fucking awesome. He's got to go out with a bang somehow. If he really is going to stick to just his last three movies or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he's under contract for three more, and he's going to retire. So, that would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well,
But then, Samuel L. Jackson's old. John Travolta's old now. You'd have to get a new cast. And I bet they would do a prequel of them younger.
It's gonna be a CGI movie.
Yeah,
they're gonna be computer generated.
Although I think Quentin Tarantino protects his movies from Hollywood because he doesn't fall into that Hollywood bullshit where Hollywood just fucks up every movie. I think he has good control of what he puts out
there. No, he really does. And the reason I'm playing this music, the reason I'm mentioning Pulp Fiction is because Alexis Arquette, transgender, died on Sunday, age 47.
Who?
I do not know anything else that she worked on, but she was in Pulp Fiction. I love Pulp Fiction, and if she died, a part of Pulp Fiction died. I just wanted to give her that respect.
Just for the audience's sake, because I didn't know what scene he was actually in. What scene was he in Pulp Fiction?
She was in the scene where Vince and Jules shoot the guy in the chair in the apartment.
Okay.
They shoot him, and then they're talking. And then the guy comes out of the door with that goddamn hand cannon.
Yeah, goddamn hand cannon.
Goddamn hand cannon. Shoots and misses all of them and creates the kinda whole Bonnie like situation.
You get that impression?
He does. It. Kind of like she Seinfeld. Looked, as a male, she did look like Jerry Seinfeld, didn't she?
That really stuck out to me when I saw it.
Anyways. Rest in peace, doll.
The whole Arquette family.
Who's the one that's married to Courtney? Are they still married? The one that was married to Courtney Cox or still?
David Arquette.
David
He's a nutcase. He's a total nutcase. He had like some beef with like Justin Bieber. Apparently, like, he threw like a bottle cap at him. There's like some old bullshit drama with him and Bieber at one point. Patricia Arquette though is hot.
Put me and Bieber in the octagon. I want that son of a bitch out.
Patricia Arquette was in True Romance. She was so hot in that movie.
That's his sister, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that Arquette family.
Arquette family, yeah.
That if you weren't a 90s child, you don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Oh, God, man. I tell you, it's been a rough 2 days. I woke up at 5 this morning to go to the gym. Got my pump on. Went to work. Got a break, worked on more carts on Boss Jock, then went to my second job, came over here, we got going, we're good, and, you know, honestly, oh, shit!
What's that?
What the fuck? Oh, that music gives me a hard-on every time, because you know what time that is, it's Back to the Future music. And this weekend is the future, so we're gonna predict that future. Let's start with Thursday night's game. New York Jets at Buffalo. Who you got, Rich?
Tyrod Taylor, he's gotta come big this game. Jets are coming off a loss. Buffalo's coming off a loss, baby. Tyrod Taylor, in order to be anything, he's gotta win this game at home. I'm picking Buffalo.
I'm picking the Jets because Tyrod Taylor could suck my balls. We go to Sunday! San Francisco at Carolina.
Carolina coming off a disappointing loss, at least by their standards. San Francisco had no business winning their last game. I'm going to take Carolina, Cam Newton. They're going to come back.
There is no way Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers are going to start the year off 0-2. And San Francisco 49ers, you're actually going to play somebody, a team that's going to fight back. How do you feel about that, you son of a bitch? Let's go to Baltimore and Cleveland.
With a disappointing start to Cleveland and RG3, this is a no-brainer. Baltimore all the way.
Baltimore all the way. I said they're making a comeback. John Harbaugh, I'm telling you, underrated. Nobody's talking about this team. They're going to be 0-2. Tennessee at Detroit, baby. Ford Field.
I've lost all confidence now in Mariota. Fuck Mariota. And I expect Matthew Stafford to continue his fantasy numbers, and he's gonna blow out Tennessee. I'm going with Detroit.
I said I was going to boycott the Detroit Lions, but Stafford, clutch in Indy. He's going to take this team. He's going to win. They're going to go 2-0. Kansas City at Houston.
Alex Smith went off for big numbers on Sunday. Who expected to see Alex Smith be this good? I didn't expect that. And then he's got Spencer Ware, this next up-and-coming fantasy fuckboy. I'm going with Kansas City in week 2.
Kansas City, Alex Smith is a fucking winner. Houston's buying this team. Kansas City is high. I'm going Kansas City. Miami, New England. New England, squish the fish, squish the fish. Who do you got?
You know what? New England. I mean, if they can come out victorious against Arizona, there's no reason why they can't beat Miami. So the same stat. Even if they have Gronk back, I still think they take that win.
Miami, going 2-0. Long road trip, coming back and at New England. I picked New England all fucking day. Oh, Drew Brees and the Saints at the New York Giants.
Drew Brees finished the week one as the number one passing quarterback in the of week one. 423 yards, four touchdowns. He's going to be facing elements in New York. I don't trust Drew Brees in outside. I'm going with the Giants.
That Giants defense, I said it last week, I'll say it again. I'm going Giants. They're going to be 2-0. And the next one, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Big division rivalry. Cincinnati is predicted to win the division. Pittsburgh is always there. I'm picking Pittsburgh. Who you got?
Here's the game where AJ, or what's his name, Andy Dalton. This is the game where he throws that crucial pick. Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown, this is his MVP year. I predicted him to win the MVP. He's going to put up big numbers. I'm going with Pittsburgh.
And D'Angelo Hall. I mean, D'Angelo Williams. Give me them fantasy boys, dog. Dallas and Washington.
Dallas right now, they don't know who they are. They have no identity. They're not gonna know who to start. Alfred Morris, Ezekiel Elliott, who are they going to use? It doesn't matter. They're in disarray. I'm going with Washington.
I don't know much about fantasy football, but I'm starting Dan Bailey because the Cowboys don't know what the end zone is. I'm going Washington. Tampa Bay and Arizona.
Arizona cannot be this gutless. They cannot start the season this gutless. They have too much on the line. They have too much expectations. Even though Jameis Winston had a big game, I'm going with Arizona.
What I said last week, don't bet against my boy Winston. Tampa Bay going 2-0. They're going to make the big win. They're going to make the splash. Tampa Bay, baby. Seattle, LA Rams.
The Rams should have beat the 49ers. And I'm coming into a new home back at the LA Coliseum. I have no faith in them. Seattle's taking it 2-0 in the division.
The Rams are playing in the toilet bowl. They don't even have box suites in that L.A. Coliseum. I'm going Seattle, Indianapolis, and Denver.
I'm going to go with the Super Bowl champs, even though Andrew Luck's coming off a big, big week off that shootout with Matthew Stafford. I'm going to take Denver's defense to pull it out.
I picked Denver, too. Literally, Andrew Luck is carrying that team on his back. Atlanta and Oakland. Raiders!
I'm gonna ride that cheap momentum that Derek Carr has going.
Cheap!
I'm gonna say they win.
Cheap!
I'm gonna say they win. I'm gonna pick the Raiders.
Cheap!
Cheap momentum he's got going for him.
I'm going Raiders. I'm sticking with it. What I'm saying, the Raiders are rising. And your Jags against San Diego in San Diego at Qualcomm Stadium. What do you got?
The Chargers just lost Keenan Allen probably for the rest of the year. That's their star wideout. Jacksonville, they played good against Green Bay. They got to clean some things up. I think Jacksonville bounces back in a big way. I think they blow out San Diego.
And Green Bay at Minnesota. Who do you got?
I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers over Sean Hill. If Sean Hill's starting, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers all day.
I got Minnesota. I made them my division winners last week. I crossed off the Packers. You got Sean Hill. I'm taking a leap of faith. Minnesota. Taking it at Minnesota. Their new stadium. Have you seen it?
No, I actually haven't.
Ooh, that place is fucking nice.
Are they not playing at the college field no more?
No more. Monday, September 19th. Philadelphia and Chicago.
As much as I hate to pick Jay Cutler, I have to go with Chicago. I fucking wrote off Philadelphia last week. They have no business winning. They have no business winning in Chicago. I'm going with Chicago.
Don't you mean Jay Cutler, bro?
Fuck Jay Cutler.
No, I mean, don't you mean Chris Cutler?
They're gonna take it. It's no, I cannot go there.
There is no fucking way. Chicago is a mess. Jay Cutler's a bum. It's a lost cause there. Fox should just start looking for new work. Philadelphia takes it. They go 2-0. And the biggest talk of the NFL next week is my new boy, Carson Wentz. What you got to say about that, Rich?
Fuck him. I'm not sold on it.
Oh, come on.
It's only week one. Let's all calm down.
That ends our predictions for week two. Oh, man. I'm exhausted. That was... Ooh. that music.
That was a packed week.
Damn.
A lot of stuff going on.
It's Tuesday.
Week.
This 2 days later. I had a day and a half to prepare for this goddamn show. Which this show doesn't even have a title yet. No title.
Hey, it's coming.
So
it'll be posted later tonight.
Last thing on our list here that I just wanted to mention. So I hear Taylor Swift has beef against Katy Perry.
Hasn't this been going on for a while now?
I just heard about it yesterday as I was making my outline.
Katy Perry, though, she's got some big titties, though.
Yes, she does. So I hear that Taylor Swift accused Perry of trying to steal backup dancers away from her during a tour.
Wow.
And she said that she was trying to sabotage her tour. So that's what Swift said. On Twitter, a fan asked Perry if she would ever collaborate with Swift. And Katy replied, if she says sorry, sure. You know what?
That's hot.
It's a cat fight right now. I know what you're going to say. I think you know what I'm going to say. If it's going up against a face-off, I got Katy Perry all day. Howard Stern says that Taylor Swift has a stinky pussy. That's why all the guys are breaking up with her because her pussy stinks. You know what? And because it makes sense, Howard Stern, because if her pussy stinks, I don't know what's the problem down there. It might be like a genetic thing, or she I don't know. She's like white trash. Like she just, or like just a piece of shit. Like doesn't scrub down there. I don't know what girls do down there,
douche down there, ladies.
Yeah, douche. But she's probably mad that she's probably hating on Katy Perry because Katy Perry is hot and every guy that dates her wants to fucking marry her. But everyone's breaking up with Taylor Swift.
What's up with that dude showing his cock behind her on the paddleboard? Did you hear about that?
What the fuck are you talking about?
The dude from Lord of the Rings movies, the second set of trilogies.
The guy that plays Bilbo Baggins?
No, the guy that shoots like the arrows and stuff at the dragon.
Orlando Bloom?
Yeah, Orlando Bloom, yeah.
He is dating Katy Perry right now.
Yeah, and like, you didn't see that picture that was posted? They were like on like vacation or whatever, and they were on a paddleboard, and he was like butt naked behind her, and like his cock was like right behind her.
See, this is the power that Katy Perry has. She has so much power that she will turn an elf from Rivendell into evil. I pick Katy Perry because she does... Oh, man, her body is so smoking hot. Her music is better. By the way, I've been up since 5. Like I said, I worked both jobs today, and I worked out. And when I was getting tired, I played Katy Perry's Rise, her new song, and Katy Perry Roar on YouTube Music. And I knew that this topic was coming up, so I put on Taylor Swift's... One of her songs that popped up, Shake It Off. Yeah, Shake It Off. Yeah. I couldn't get past the first... It was fucking terrible.
Horrible music.
Oh, God. When I hear Katy Perry, I feel like she's making love to me, honestly.
I Kiss the Girl. That's the best song.
But
how confident are you, though, like to have your cock out right behind Katy Perry?
I mean...
How confident can you be?
If you're banging Katy Perry, I mean...
And the whole internet's gonna see it, obviously, and the whole internet has seen it. I actually saw his cock.
I would expose my schlong all day. I would walk around naked. If I was hitting that, I would be in body paint all day. I don't know, just naked. I don't give a shit. She is so fucking fine.
Oh, yeah.
I love you, Katy Perry. You.
Her and Shannon Doherty. Throwbacks, kind
of. The hell are you talking about?
She's kind of old. She's up there now. I mean, how long has she been out now?
Shannon Doherty?
No, Katy Perry. Like 10 years now, at least.
Yeah, she's been around for a while. She's given me a couple of wet dreams. You know what that music means, folks. And this show seemed a little rushed. Fuck you. We don't give a shit. And this is week two. We had 2 days to prepare. We're going to be back and stronger than ever in about a week and a half.
I can't wait.
Episode three is gonna. We have to get improved. Please leave comments down there if you want to tell us we suck. Go ahead and tell us we suck. What did you learn today, Rich?
I learned a lot actually today.
What's up? Tell me, enlighten me, bro.
I learned Terrence Williams is an old football 101. I learned that he's a fucking idiot. Doesn't know how to get out of bounds and give your team a chance to win the game.
I learned today, well, actually, I've known this for a while, the Dallas Cowboys don't have a good coaching staff. They're terrible. What else did you learn?
I learned Shannon Doherty has breast cancer.
That's kind of sad. I hope her and her beautiful cans make a smooth recovery.
I cannot stress that enough. Good.
Beautiful cans. I also learned that Trump's trying to kill Hillary.
I learned Dez Bryant cannot get a catch. He can't get more than 2 catches. I've learned every team in the league can get their star wideouts the ball. But if you're the number one wideout in the Dallas Cowboys, expect to be a decoy and not get any catches.
I learned today from myself that Antonio Brown is the great Antonio Brown because of his fade.
And it's twerking.
Oh, yeah! God damn, that was funny. Anything else, buddy?
I learned Rick Perry's a horrible dancer. I don't even know
Who the hell is Rick Perry?
The Texas governor. He, humiliated himself on Dancing with the Stars. That was pretty funny.
See, I gotta start watching that show again. I think my girl, Cheryl Burke, is back on that. Anyways, America... We want to say good night. We want to say peace to all you. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. We'll see you in a week and a half.